All right. It is good to see everybody. I know that our group is on the way home, or will be shortly. I guess they're already on the way back from Gatlinburg. I texted them, and they were hearing some good lessons. I think they were even going to hear Jeff Walling last night, one of my favorite speakers. And so good singing over there and all that, great fellowship. We've been looking at a sermon series that I have entitled, What's the Big Idea? So if you want to open your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to read it because we're going to cover just about the whole chapter with three big ideas. And I call this exposition. It's where you find the big idea in a text. So Matthew 25. We find in Matthew 25 the parables of the wise and foolish maidens. They're waiting for the bridegroom for either the wedding or the wedding feast. Then there's the parable of the talents. The NIV, I think, correctly captures the idea that's being presented, and that is, instead of talent, it calls it one bag of gold, two bags of gold, and five bags of gold, because that's what the business person left in their care. And then there's the parable of the sheep and the goats. I read through this chapter years ago, actually. It was even before I came here, going on 8 years ago. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, beside the parable of the wise and foolish maidens, I wrote the word watch. And beside the parable of the talents, I wrote the word work. And beside the parable of the sheep and the goats, I wrote the word win. And then at the bottom of the in the margin of my Bible, I wrote good sermon. I've never actually preached that sermon that way, that particular sermon, until today. So sometimes I put things in the back of my mind for quite a while, as you might understand. When you're a preacher, and texts of the Bible have multiple words that begin with the same letter, or you can find words that begin with the same letter in thoughts, that just automatically almost screams sermon. Now, that's a memory device that some preachers use. So for some preachers, their favorite book next to the Bible is a thesaurus, so that they can do that. They can find words that match that way. I'm just an old country boy, and that kind of memory device, I don't really pay a lot of attention to it. I'm one of those guys that can wear two clashing colors of plaid and be okay with it, all right? The big idea here, though, of the parable of the wise and foolish maidens is quite simple. Watch. Prepare. Plan ahead. Discern. Be deliberate. Jesus states the point there in verse 13, if you're looking at your Bible. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Tommy Lasorda, the famous Hall of Fame baseball coach, once said, there are three kinds of people in the world. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who wonder, what just happened? It's kind of like this. There are those who watch, there are those who don't, and then there are those who aren't prepared. All right? Jesus says, you can't know, you don't know the time. The bridegroom, that is Christ Jesus, came at midnight. I mean, think about it, folks. Midnight. How many weddings do you know happen at midnight? How many wedding receptions do you know that happen at midnight? I've never known anything like that. But that's the big idea here. You can't know. That's one of the big ideas. One day, any day, Jesus, folks, is just going to show up. Are you watching? Are you prepared? Are you ready? The concept of watching here is more than just gazing at the sky, as some of the people in Thessalonica were doing. It's not just looking. It's about preparation. It's about planning. It's about expectation. And it's about anticipation. And it's also about being alert and vigilant, but it's about being excited and eager. This is the bridegroom that we're talking about here. If you know me, you know I enjoy what kind of hunting?
Deer.
Deer hunting. Yeah, you got it. I have been a deer hunter ever since the age of 13, when my father first took me with him. I'm 63. That's 50 years. And if you know me a little bit better, you know that I begin to prepare for deer season about the first week of July. I get out the target, and I get out the bow, and I start practicing, and I look at the Bass Pro catalog and see, is there anything in there that I need that I don't have? Usually no. But I begin to, I try to find the Realtree Monster Buck videos and watch them, and Cheryl will tell you that I get as far away from the TV in the house as I can, and I practice aiming at the deer on the TV. Make sure you don't have bullets in the gun when you do that, okay? But for me, about the first week of July, anticipation and preparation and excitement is about as exciting as the hunting itself. People who aren't preparing for the Lord to return are not excited about it. They're not excited about what that means, about new life, eternal life, life with God, life in heaven, inheriting the promise of the promise. The promise of salvation, the promise of the promise is eternal life with God. You know, and I got to thinking about that a couple of days ago and I thought, I wonder if we couldn't consider that a missing element of the Lord's Supper observance. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until when?" Until He comes again. I remember what He did. I remember for me what He's doing. But I also, I think maybe I've been missing out that I need to be thinking about He's coming again. And what this means to me is relevant for me today, but it's relevant about that time too, when He's coming. Part of remembering what we remember is like filling our lamp and taking extra oil, getting ready for that great day when I will eat this supper again. With Him. The parable of the wise and foolish maidens demands that we ask ourselves, are we ready? And are we preparing? Are we anticipating? But also, are we alert and are we excited? This gathering today, folks, isn't just about worship. That's important. But it isn't just about worship. It's about preparation. It's about vigilance. It's about excitement. It's about encouragement. The blessing here is that we don't have to worry about when it's going to happen because we are living ready. Today, tomorrow, the next day, we're ready. And I came here this morning not just to worship, but to get extra oil. And I get that when I open my Bible and I study it with you. I get that from talking to you and being encouraged by you. Extra oil. The second big idea here is work. A businessman was going away for an extended period of time. He didn't say how long. It's likely he didn't know how long. He gave three of his servants sums of money to utilize on his behalf while he was gone. It's not like today where you can jump on a plane and be in Zurich in 8 hours. Back then, a business trip could have taken months, sometimes even years. In the first parable, Jesus is the bridegroom. In the second parable, He is the businessman. But here the point isn't about how long he's gone. It's that He leaves His money in the hands of His servants. The big idea is that we utilize the resources, we all do, the resources that He has left in our charge. And we carry on His quote-unquote business while He is gone. It's about work. It's about effort. It's about accomplishment. It's not that we are working to earn some kind of Christian station or a place in the kingdom. These individuals are all three His servants. The man given one bag of gold is no less a servant than the man given two or the man given five. In fact, the Lord of the business is so fair that He is aware of their differing capabilities. And He gives each one according to his ability. That is, if when you stop to think about that, that is so beautiful. This is so comforting to me. To know that my Lord knows my faith, and He knows my capabilities, He knows the opportunities I have, and He judges me accordingly. Now, He wants me to succeed. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 20, Jesus, quoting Isaiah, who's quoting God, says, "A bruised reed He, that is God, will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out." This is another reason I love coming here to be with you every chance we have to get together. There are weeks when my best effort just seems to be to smolder a little bit. I come here to be fanned by you into a burning flame, like a forge where the iron is stuck in the flame and air is blown over it to superheat it. You are my forge. And I hope that I add a little bit of flame to your needs. We come together and we worship in the songs and the prayers and the Lord's Supper, in the fellowship especially, but they breathe more life into me. They fill my lamp with oil. And my smoldering flame on my candle is fanned back into burning. I hope that's why you're here too. But the Lord knows that I am me. I don't have to be able to preach like Jeff Walling. I don't have to be able to preach like Patrick Mead. I don't have to be the missionary that Dorian Flynn is. I don't have to be the Bible class teacher that John Mark Hicks and David Lipscomb in Nashville is. I only have to be Stan Little and do what I can where I am. But the big idea here is that I must be the best Stan Little that I can be with what the Master has put in my charge. And the Lord knows exactly what that is, and I take great comfort in that. I hope you do as well. This gathering is not just about worship, but it's about what the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10, the purpose that we all get together is to encourage one another to love and good what? Good works. That's important. I'm glad you're sitting here this morning, but I hope you understand that sitting doesn't become doing without that desire to be ready and to be looking and to be eager. I'm glad you're listening this morning, but listening will never become work if we bury our responsibility, that is our gold or talent, in the ground, whether it's five bags or two or one. This parable, please bear in mind, is not aimed at the worldly heathen or the idolatrous pagan. It isn't aimed at the fornicator or the adulterous person. They're not the one he's talking about that's going to be cast out in outer darkness. It is the one who was the trusted servant who did nothing with the responsibility they were given. Now tie this to the previous parable, and we can't be watching, folks, and not be working. We can't be expecting the Lord to return any day and have our responsibility hidden in a safe place, unused. So what work we are doing should be increasing the kingdom. Is that the case? Now, the big idea in the third parable, back up, is the parable of the sheep and goats, is about the day when we stand before God in judgment. Good news. We win. We win. That's one of the biggest mind thoughts that we can have when we take the Lord's Supper. We win. Because of what He did, we win. Now, I'm not a shepherd. Never have been. But we don't have to be a herdsman to understand that the sheep and the goats are all feeding in the pasture at the same time. But when it came shearing time, you don't shear goats, you only shear the sheep. So they're brought in and the sheep are put in the pen on the right and the goats are diverted to the pen on the left. Now don't try to read too much into this livestock metaphor. This is about people, and it's just simply about separation at the end. Verse 31 and 32 says, "When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." And there are just two categories. There are only two pens. The right and the left, saved and the lost. There were two telling phrases that will be said at that day. "Come you who are blessed, and depart from me, you who are cursed." Cursed and blessed aren't conditions we inherit. They're decisions that we make. We all deserve to be cursed, but Jesus Christ died to give us the opportunity to inherit the blessing. Salvation is the gift. "Come you who are blessed," is the reward for those who have lived the gift. So I say to you, my church family, continue to watch. Continue to work good works, and you will win.